Please take your Bibles to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. On this Valentine's Day, I wanted to give us some encouragement in our marriages. Building blocks for a healthy marriage. Now, you might say and think, well, I'm not married, you know. Maybe you're joining online. Maybe it is that you're here in the sanctuary and you're saying, I'm not married. Maybe I'm not planning to ever get married, or whatever the case. I think there is some important truths that you can glean along the way through this message. So don't turn me off. Don't say, well, I'm single, and so this doesn't apply to me, and, you know, I don't have a Valentine. There's nobody who loves me. Well, matter of fact, the Lord God loves you, and I love you. I care about you, whether you're here, whether you're joining online. Every life is precious. And so if you are feeling lonely, if you're feeling forsaken, like nobody cares about you, dive into the Holy Word of God and recognize that there is a God in heaven who does love and care for you. Draw near to Him. He promises He will draw near to you. So that is very important, all right, to recognize that. And the Bible also tells us that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, right? So it's important for us to reach out, and first and foremost, to God. But today, as we talk about having a healthy marriage, building blocks for a healthy marriage, I would like to begin here in the scripture out of Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse number 18. Verse number 18, the Bible tells us, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Now, this is interesting. God has made everything. Sin has not yet entered the world, and God has made all of the birds. He's made all of the cattle. He's made the sun, moon, and stars. He's made all the plants. All of these things God has made, and He's made man. But God says, there's something that's not good. Now, it wasn't man in and of himself, but it was man by himself. He was incomplete. And of course, he would be, if it weren't for woman, God's creation there, he would have been alone for a long time. Right? But God says, I will make him an helpmeet for him. God didn't make a separate race. He didn't make a brand new creature to be the helpmeet for man. He created the woman out of the man, so that the woman is bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, one race, and in marriage, united in one. So consider, as I continue to read the scripture in verse 19, it says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam." Here's the first surgery. "And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." God designs marriage here. We can see in verse 24, God lays out this principle, lays out this formation of marriage. Adam didn't have a mommy. Adam didn't have a daddy. But God said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother." See, he was laying down the institution of marriage. This wasn't just the first man and the first woman getting together. This was God instituting marriage for mankind. All right? One man and one woman united in holy matrimony. This is God's design. All right? Before sin ever entered the world. So as we dive in, let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do need your help. I pray that you would give us insight and understanding that we might find the help we need in our own marriages if we are married. Those listening, I pray that for those who aren't married but may one day be, that they would receive these truths, that they might begin building healthy relationships and a healthy disposition themselves so that they might be the right one, that they might be what you want them to be in their singlehood. And Lord, I pray that you would just work in this time. We pray that you would help the love of God to be real. And I pray that if there's anybody who does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, whether in the sanctuary, whether joining online, that they might recognize this day their need and recognize your love for them, and that they would turn from sin and recognize the price you paid so that their sin could be taken away, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, we pray that that you would do that work in their hearts and that they would have faith to believe. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Building blocks for a healthy marriage. We've seen already that marriage and family are God's idea. They are God's idea. This is not man's idea. This wasn't man who was thinking, boy, it's awful lonely. You know, I would really, really like to have a mate. That is not. It was God's design. God is the one who saw it was not good. God, of course, it wasn't a mistake in the beginning of the creation, but God was just pointing out the importance of that companionship and as his design is. So this is God's design. This happened before sin entered the world. Sin comes into the world in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. And this is authoritative. The scripture, the holy word of God, is authoritative from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. And when we talked about last week, we talked about global warming, talked about climate change. You know what? God's word is right up to speed. It's right up to date. And in fact, it's surpassed the current time because it's timeless, the authoritative word of God on that topic. But when we come to the topic of marriage, we come to the topic of creation, such as much of Genesis and the rest of Scripture talks about God creating the world. This is authority. All right. In today, we have so many opinions, and if we talk about marriage, we have opinions about marriage, what marriage should be and what it shouldn't be. And, you know, well, it really doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter really what you think or what some highfalutin politician thinks. The fact of the matter is God designed it. God is our creator. We will be accountable to him for his laws, his commandments. And of course, he forbids adultery and he all those kinds of things. And he has instituted the divine covenant of marriage between one man and one woman for life. And so it's special. It's special. And we need to understand God's plan. We need to understand his blueprint. If we are going to know his blessing and have his help, it is so vital that we go it God's way, right? When we go it our way, we find a lot of hurt and pain. We find a lot of issues. But when we go God's way, we will have God's help in life's challenges. Marriage is challenging. It's extra challenging because we are sinners. And when you have two sinners united like that, it can cause friction. It can cause misunderstandings. It can cause difficulties. But when both work together in the fear of God, it can be a blessing. And we can overcome challenges together. We can divide our problems and conquer them with God's help. And so it's very important that we recognize marriage is God's plan. It's God's plan. Very important that we value marriage and the family structure thereby. All right? It is a foundation of our society. It's the foundation of healthy churches, God-honoring marriages and homes is so foundational to our church, to our society at large. And we've seen much breakdown in that area. The moral decline of our time has been largely, first, the breakdown of marriage, the breakdown in the home. And so very important that we seek the Lord, follow Him in what is His prescription for our lives. All right? The Bible tells us in Mark 3, verse 24 and 25, it says, "If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." So we need to see that we need to get on the same page. We must work together. This is what we see going on in our nation at this time. We see the breakdown of our nation. We see such a breakdown of the fabric of our institutions in this land. We have seen very sad things taking place. And the Bible tells us that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. That's troubling, mind you. But for our homes, our homes need to be working together and functioning so that we're in communication, that we're on the same page, that we're building together and not breaking apart. So this is why it is important for us to talk about this topic. It's important for us as couples to seek to strengthen our marriage. We should seek out advice through the scriptures, through a sermon series. You know, I brought a few materials that I picked up off my shelf here this morning. I've got a few materials that, for example, this is a DVD set that we filmed with Pastor and Mrs. Farnham and a marriage retreat we put on back in 2016 right here in Harvey. And so that is that. I'm getting it for those online right here, I think, more so. All right. So there's a DVD set that we have, and I would like to actually, I don't think these are on our website, but I would like to get those up maybe on YouTube or something like that, be able to get those available. Here's something else. This is If He Only Knew by Dr. Gary Smalley. It's a audio thing to listen to for husbands, and some good material there. Also some good books. Here's one. Are We There Yet? By Paul Chappell and his wife Terry. That's a great, great book. Marriage, A Perfect Journey for Imperfect Couples. It'd be great in 2021 in your marriage, whether you're joining online, whether you're here. And if you need that book, if you're joining online, we work to get you that book. We would be glad to help out that way, or you can order it directly. And here's another one, Making Home Work. That's a great, great resource as well by Pastor Paul Chappell. That's Striving Together Publications, strivingtogether.com. Both of these are Striving Together. Those are some resources that a person can use to build into their marriage. And that's important, to read a book together. You know, life gets so busy, but boy, I mean, if you break down and read even just 4 pages, you know, in a given week, and work through that. Keep your marker there and work through that a little bit, a couple time, 15 minutes a week or something, that's just on that book. That can be helpful. It can spur some discussion on important topics that can help you to talk through some things. So those are good things. Well, I need to take off of the runway here and jump into the message today. So, number one, I want you to understand that we need to cultivate purity of heart and mind as individuals and in our marriage. Whether you're single, it is so important that you cultivate purity of mind. We're talking about building blocks for a healthy marriage. Well, you're not married, you say. Well, but one day, maybe you will. We must cultivate purity of heart and mind. You know, what are you putting in? The Bible says in Proverbs, you can see it there on your screen, Proverbs 4, verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. The word keep means to guard or protect. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life. We must guard our heart. And you know, as a single person, what we watch, our communications, we must cultivate purity of heart. Very important. In fact, listen to this, the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Okay? So, whether, and of course, Jesus taught that adultery can be in our thoughts too. Corrupt thoughts is adulterous. He that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery, the Bible says already, Jesus said, in your heart. And so we understand that we must guard our hearts. We need to cultivate purity. That is vital, because it will damage our soul. These corruptions damage your soul. Dirty magazines damage your heart. They rob from your marriage. Maybe you're not married now, but they rob from your purity. If you've experienced that, you know, get it right and get on the right track. Get God's help. Get his deliverance from those addictive corruptions that destroy your very soul. All right? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. Flee, don't flirt with. It didn't say flirt with youthful lusts. Hey, you're youthful. Just, you know, flirt with whatever you want. No, that's the time to flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So one important thing is not just turning away from that which is corrupt movies, books, whatever the situation may be that tailors, that entertains our lusts. We should turn away from that, but we should fill our life with that which is wholesome and good and pure, that we think on that which is good. So flee youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Secondly, this morning, give Jesus priority in your life and marriage. Give Jesus priority. We must seek first, as the scripture says, Jesus pointing out, chapter 6, verse 33 of Matthew. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says, I will take care of you. I will bring other things together if you would make me your priority. Now in the passage, he's talking about food and clothing, things like that. But the basic needs, God says, I will meet your basic needs if you put me first. You know, there may be somebody listening, maybe it's online, I'm not sure, that maybe you're in a situation and you're feeling lonely and you're about ready. Maybe you're looking in the wrong places for a companion. You know, maybe you're not ready in your own life really for a companion. I don't know what the situation is, but maybe you're going to the bar. Maybe you're in questionable places online looking for someone to like you or what have you. You know what? That's a dangerous place to be. It really is. Guard your heart. You need to first and foremost make the Lord Jesus your priority. You seek him. He says, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if he's going to take care of our food and he's going to take care of our shelter if we put him first, you know what? He's going to take care of our relationships. And in his time, we must leave the choice with God. We must trust God with our lives. I know that in my life, I mean, I was, let's put it this way, I've been single a lot longer than I've been married. I'm almost 40 years old, and, you know, for the first 29 years of my life, I was single. okay? And so I know what it's like to be single, perhaps more than I know what it's like to be married, although I do know both now. But we must make the Lord Jesus our priority, because let me tell you this, marriage isn't the fix-all. It's not, wow, you get married, and then it's just piece of cake, joy and gladness forever. No, no, you're still a sinner, and the person you marry is going to be a sinner. And marriage takes work. And once the fluffy stuff blows away, you know, you get down to, hey, we're gonna have to work at this. We're gonna have to make this work. We're gonna have to follow the Lord. We need faith. We need courage, and to build our lives. All right, very important. So, Jesus needs to be your priority. Very important. I got a couple other scriptures here. I'll just say Luke 11 verse 28. Jesus speaking. Jesus said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." They that hear the word of God and keep it. We must obey the Lord. Also, Psalm 127, verse 1. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." So we need to put Jesus as our priority so that we build our life on the rock. As a single person, maybe you're a teen, whatever the case, you can start today building your life on Jesus, on timeless truths from the Scripture that will put you in a place to be on the right road. And when the time is right, God will provide, if that's His will. Do you want God's will? God reserves the best for those who leave the choice with Him. That's one thing my parents taught me, and I believe my mom's dad taught her that, if I'm not mistaken, that in thinking about a life mate, God reserves the best for those who leave the choice with Him. We must, and that's true. I can attest to that, the truth of that. I am so thankful for my wife, and now, almost 11 years later, I know that God was in it, and I know, and I'm so thankful for the treasure He gave and entrusted to me in my spouse. It's a blessing, because you know what? Storms will come. Life will throw challenges, curveballs, difficulties. And knowing that you've trusted the Lord, knowing that you've followed the Lord, will just put you in such a better place to challenge life's difficulties. More I could say there, but I want to cruise along. All right, number three, purpose to bless your mate every day. We're talking about building blocks to a healthy marriage. You need to purpose to bless your mate every day. Bless your mate. Now, you can think about this even as a single person. How am I going to live today so that it's a blessing to my marriage later on, right? That will help you keep in on the straight and narrow of purity and godliness and those kind of things. But you know what? In our marriage, we need to consider every day, how can I bless my wife? Now, maybe that's communication. Maybe that's a text message of something thoughtful. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 12, if you notice the scripture there, Proverbs 31, 12, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." She will do him good and not evil. The virtuous woman. You know, it's a blessing when you have a good woman like that. When you have a wife who's going to treat you right, even if she could get away with being a shyster. No, that's not who she is. She's good. She'll do right. She'll care about you and care for you even when you're not there. How she talks about you to others, whatever the case may be. And then the same is true for us as men. Are we blessing our wife each day? What is it that we could do to bless them? Small things make a big difference. They really do. Small gestures. What can we say? When's the last time you expressed your love for your wife? When's the last time you expressed your wife's beauty, right? Those are important things. with honesty, with genuineness. When's the last time you noticed what they were wearing or noticed how they did their hair or things like that? Boy, we need to take note of those things and make a meaningful and appropriate acknowledgement. All right? How can you help? Ways to help. Help around the home to be a blessing. All right? Little things can make a big difference. So that's an important building block. It's not about two people just living in the same house trying not to fight. It's about us really blessing one another. And that can make a little bit of heaven on earth. Number four, carve out connection time each week. Connection time. Oh, how we need to communicate. We need to turn devices off. We need to look each other in the eye. If it's for 15 minutes, that would be a great place to start, right? To look each other in the eye and have a face-to-face conversation, whether it's after the kids have gone to bed or early in the morning or sometime when you can connect with your wife. Carve out connection time. Now, I'm not saying it should only be 15 minutes, but it would be good for us to carve out time, especially on a weekly basis, where we carve out time to spend together, a little date, even if it's simple. It doesn't have to be extravagant, but notice 1 Peter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." In spending time together and carving out that time, you know, the Bible says here that giving honor unto the wife is unto the weaker vessel. When you have something that's fragile or, you know, more delicate, that doesn't mean it's not valuable. In fact, most valuable things need a little extra tender care. And that's the communication of this passage. Our wives need that tender care, but also this verse says to dwell with them according to knowledge. We must have that proactive communication that asks questions and listens to the answers. Asks questions and listens to the answers. We all need to be better listeners. That's why it's important for us to turn things off. Set our phone in the other room so that we can actually have a face-to-face conversation and talk about our lives, our marriage, and other pertinent aspects. All right, so carve out connection time each week. Number five, delight in your mate. Remember when you were getting to know your mate and you were just tickled about them and everything they did, you know, was just rubbed you in a certain way that was just brought fuzzies to your heart. How about you think about your mate in those ways again? How about you nurture that and think about how special they are and how much you appreciate them? Delight in them. Think about things that they have done for you and in your home that you would consider what you appreciate about them. Think about it. You know, sometimes we're so captivated with the busyness of life that we don't take time to think about the blessing of our spouse. And if we don't think about the blessing, we'll neglect them and we will not be thankful and we will not express that delight. So very important. Notice Proverbs 5, verse 18. The Bible says, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. We need to do that. Ephesians 5, verse 28 tells husbands to love their wives as their own bodies, it says. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Ephesians 5, 28. Also, verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Sometimes we are far too good at taking care of ourselves. You know, our little desires, maybe it's a coffee or a chocolate or something, but we don't think about our wife. We need to think about our wife and delight in her and see how we can express that delight in tangible ways. Cherish them. Hold them dear. Speak politely to them. You know, 1 Peter 3 verse 8 says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Be courteous. You know, have some manners, right? I mean, treat them with the manners you'd treat a stranger. I mean, are you going to, you know, sit beside a stranger and belch? You know, I hope not. But, you know, don't treat your wife that way. Right? And that's just one example, and hopefully that, you know, well, it's probably happened to all of us. But you know what? We can seek forgiveness and get it right. But you know, treat them. Treat them like a lady. Open the door for them. Go ahead and, you know, open the car door and do something special to shock them. Treat them with politeness. Certainly as much politeness as you'd give to a perfect stranger. Hopefully more. All right, number six. Seek reconciliation for offenses. Seek reconciliation for offenses. Offenses will come. You'll hurt them. They'll hurt you. Misunderstandings will happen. It's going to happen. This is planet Earth. This is a sinful world. You're a sinner. They're a sinner. It's going to happen. It's not if it happens, it's when. How are we going to work to make those things right? Colossians 3 and verse 19 says this. It says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's an interesting verse that God says to husbands. Says, husbands, don't be bitter at your wife. Now, why would a husband be bitter? Well, if they are not dealing with grievances, right? If they're not working through life's hurts and challenges. That's why it's important for us to seek forgiveness, confess our wrongs, seek forgiveness from our wives, and offer them, extend them forgiveness. Don't harbor grievances. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray God's goodness upon them. You know, someone who maybe has gotten on your nerves, how important to pray loving, blessing prayers for them. That will help you forgive and love them, even with maybe an area that irritates you. God will give you grace to let it go. God will give you grace to not have to be right. So the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 26, it says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, we need to deal with issues in a timely manner. Don't let them go unattended. Number seven, our last one here this morning. Number seven, take steps to build trust. We're talking about building blocks for a healthy marriage. Take steps to build trust. Proverbs 31, verse 11, the Bible says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." The idea of no need of spoil is the idea of no lacking of purpose. Spoil is often used, the spoil of war, booty, valuables taken in war. Well, it's not the context of war here. Hopefully not anyway. No need of those valuables. No need of literally the root of this word comes from that which means purpose or worth. And so the heart of her husband, the virtuous woman, her husband trusts in her safely so that he shall have no lacking of purpose. Because of the confidence in the relationship, it builds a worth into this. And so very important for us to build trust. You know, trust is an important thing in a relationship. Areas that sometimes are lacking are even in the handling of money. You know, not talking about purchases and not following, you know, together on an agreed upon plan. That can over multiple issues there, it can build tension and lack of trust. Maybe it's questionable communication. You know what, if you get nervous when your spouse has your phone and you're like, hey, give me that phone, there's something probably wrong there. You're going to the wrong places. You're expecting the wrong kind of texts or whatever. You're communicating with people you shouldn't, or you've said things you shouldn't, or you have some communications that are not as they should be. And that's not a good situation. So get those things right. Build trust. You see, openness, honesty is a trust builder. Get things right. Be transparent and allow broken areas, broken down areas to be repaired. All right? So the Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Luke 16:10. If there's little things that we're unfaithful with, how can we build major trust, right? Little things handled in a trustworthy manner will build trust for greater things. And so in our marriages, we need to trust one another and we need to build that, because if it's been broken, how do you trust someone who has broken that time and again and again? It takes a lot of time and continued faithfulness to get that rebuilt. So we need to work on that. Every marriage needs to work on those kind of things. Well, these are some important building blocks. I'm sure they're not all of them. There's things that have been missed. But how can you apply what you've heard today? You know, I shared 7 main points, building blocks, here this morning. But you know what? Maybe you need to just pick one. It's like, this hit the spot that I need to work on. Will you work on that? Will you say, you know what? I'm man enough to own this and to deal with it. With God's help, I'm going to seek change in this area. Maybe you're gonna access a material that's going to talk about that area and maybe get some biblical help. Maybe you're going to seek counsel from an older couple, from a pastor, whatever the case may be, to get some help in those areas. Do something about what you've heard today.